As we continue in worship this morning, we're going to be looking here in Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. The words will be found on the screen above. And again, next week, Reverend Tina Carter will be here with us. Tina came out of this church many years ago as an ordained clergy in the Methodist Church, and looking forward to her being back here at Northwest Hills and sharing a message with us next week. So this morning, we're here in Luke 11, 1 through 13. It says, he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to be together in this place, to look upon the scripture and look upon this prayer that you taught us, that share your heart and that allow us to live in the way that you have called us to live. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Praying can be very intimidating. If we're in a room and we say, let's pray, who's going to pray? Most of the time, people are going to look around, look down. We don't want to say the wrong thing. Maybe we don't want to feel like something is our fault. We pray something in a wrong way. What if the prayer goes unanswered? Have someone says, can you pray? And we are worried, like, what if it goes unanswered? Or what if things don't turn out the way that we prayed for? I would say 7 out of 10 times. Well, more like 8 or 9 out of 10 times, we often look towards the church pastor. If he or she is in the room to lead the prayer. The topic of prayer leads us to ask, how do we pray? When do we pray? Is there a special formula? Does the clergy have this special connection that we don't have? Will God answer our prayers? I think Jesus desired and even found it necessary for his disciples, which includes all of us, to understand the importance of prayer and to feel comfortable praying. Jesus knew that prayer does not change God, but changes those who pray. It's a conversation with God in which God speaks into our life and changes us. It demonstrates our faith in God, and through prayer, we seek to align ourselves with God's intentions for us and the world. It's this openness to God. It acknowledges our humanness. The one who accepts us as we are and leads us in the direction of everlasting love. Therefore, throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus pray. We see Jesus before a miracle or after a miracle or a healing. We see Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see Jesus go out to the mountainside and pray. He prays as he's feeding the 5,000. He prays the night before he died on the cross. It's a big part of his life, Jesus' life. And if God in the flesh, God who was perfect, engaged in prayer, how much more do we need to? This morning we read about Jesus modeling for his students how to pray and what to pray for. This morning scripture is what Jesus models for us in what the Christian community commonly calls the Lord's Prayer, found in both the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke that we read. It's a pattern for our life, not just something we recite, but we recite this prayer because Jesus wanted and desired for these words to dictate our thoughts and our actions that we may reflect God's intentions. And so let's look at a couple of these phrases found in the Lord's Prayer, which help us to understand some of the most important teachings of Jesus. In Luke 11, after Jesus finished praying, one of his disciples came boldly to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The prayer starts off with the word "our." The first word is intentional. "Our." We're part of this greater community. It's not a prayer for me, but it's a prayer for us, the big church, us, as people of God, as the kingdom of God, living as one, our. Pastor Adam Hamilton says, when we say our Father, we show an awareness that the life of following Jesus is not a life of individuality, but a life of living in biblical community. When we pray our Father, we remember we're part of a growing and greater community that shares life together through worship and words and meals and service. Our. So much bigger than ourselves. Thy kingdom come. We often say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." To say this is to believe that God's work and mission will be done at some point in the future, that much of what we see on the news and what the news shows is shows that we're not there quite yet. Hurt, hunger, war, violence, these things are not of the kingdom of God. But when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven," we're asking God to use us as agents of God's restoration and reconciliation in our dark and broken world. Not in some time in the future, but now, on earth as it is in heaven. And we see glimpses of that when we partner with God and when we work with one another towards a greater purpose of wholeness, of righteousness, of salvation, and justice. We see glimpses of on earth as it is in heaven when we see people go out and serve with one another and work with one another. There was a mission trip that I went on in Kenya once, and I didn't speak the same language as the folks there, but we were working on building this hospital in Maua. And one of the parts of the hospital was laying the foundation of like this cement or pebbles. And even as we didn't speak to one another, we were in rhythm with one another with my shovel and then his shovel and then my shovel and his shovel. And there was like this sync. Even though we didn't even speak the same language, we were of the same mindset, of the same goal, and of the same desire. Glimpses of what the kingdom of God looks like when we're in one with one another. It requires us to think and act with an expanded mind than what gets stuck in our head. It requires us to see bigger and greater possibilities than what our eyes can currently see. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven means that we're representatives of the world, of God to the world, and we represent that breaking of the kingdom of God here and now. Give us each day our daily bread. You know, Jesus was on the road quite a bit. He traveled from place to place and was constantly on the move, teaching and healing. In many portrayals of Jesus, we see Jesus as this clean-cut person, usually well put together, strong, clean. We seldom see Jesus as a person in need. But Jesus showed us what it meant to trust God for our daily bread. And when we say we trust God for our daily bread, it's not just talking about the bread we're going to eat. But it means to trust God for all of our needs in all of our circumstances. When we pray for our daily needs, we rest assured that God hears our prayers and acts on them in God's timing. Sometimes we're even the answer to someone else's prayer that God would provide their daily need. Forgive us our sins or trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. Jesus knew that forgiveness brought freedom. And out of freedom from guilt and shame, we're able to find hope and peace and joy in our life. When we forgive as we've been forgiven, we lean upon God who has forgiven us. We're moved towards practicing forgiveness to others. Through this prayer, we see just a glimpse of some things that are important to Jesus. That his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that we're one in the body, that we lean upon Jesus to provide us all that we need, and that we're forgiving people. Jesus goes on to tell a parable of a friend who goes and knocks on another friend's door for some bread. I like how Jesus tells this parable. He says, suppose, short for imagine for me for a minute. In this parable, Jesus tells us even though the friend has four reasons why he or she could tell this friend to go away, they won't because of the persistence of the one who comes knocking. Jesus is saying you can't send the person away who persistently comes in need of your help. Especially a friend or a neighbor who has been instructed to love as we love ourselves. So often today, we don't go knock on someone else's door. We want to figure things out by ourselves. We've been taught to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and don't lean upon others. We're worried about them telling us no. Being embarrassed. Our doors are rarely open. Our windows have gotten smaller. Our doors are usually locked. In relating this parable to prayer, Jesus is telling his people to persistently and shamelessly ask, seek, and knock. God is approachable and should be approached often and with confidence that God will act and God will answer, no matter what time, no matter what the need. Jesus is our Father and our friend, and he calls you child of God. So through this parable and through this prayer, The promise is to encourage us to come with confidence and assurance to the throne of grace, not hesitating for a moment to ask of God the desires of our hearts. Trust and believe that Jesus really responds to our prayers. In the midst of each day, when we're in the chaos of life, pray. In the midst of anxious times, when we don't know which name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Amen.